things. One is, there's a whole lot of marriage being celebrated today. So we want to Gloria, how many is that? 59, is that right? Is that right, Gloria? 59? 59, all right. And Guy and Judy, how many? 49. So add that up real quick. That's 98 years, right? And we got one more. Al and Barbara, how many? 58. So we have 156 years of marriage on the table today. So we're going to throw out the message, and if you want to just see these guys, they're going to fix all your problems, right? But praise God, that's amazing. And by the way, I want to say in a serious way, thank you guys for setting the bar high and for being faithful to God. We just praise God for all of you. And again, praise God for Miss Minnie, 90 years. That's awesome, right? That's amazing. So take your Bibles, if you guys would, and we're going to flip over to the book of 1 Timothy, where we just were, I think, and we are going to dig into God's Word. And before we get started, I want to say the second thing, which is this. If anybody needs a ride to the picnic area today, we have 29 seats on the bus, and one of them could be yours if you need a ride. And that's for us. Well, preference is going to be if our students are here and don't have a parent, don't have a ride, as long as they are above the age of 12, they can go without their parent. If they're below the age of 12, mom and dad or somebody has to be with them. So let's just pray. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for the day that you've given us. We want to praise you, dear God, for all the many things, Lord, that you're doing in our midst. And Lord, we just give you thanks and praise, especially for Jesus and the power of your word and your Holy Spirit to change us, Lord, and not leave us the way we were. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, today that you would just work in every pew. Help us, Lord God, to really be transformed, Lord, into your image, Lord, as we open up your word today and just work in our hearts. And I want to pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you guys, next week is the last week of this series called Facing Our Foes, Big and Small. And Chip will be kind of finishing that out for us. Him and Lori will be here. And that's, by the way, their last week. So remember to say goodbye to them, get their prayer card, and make sure, you know, we send them off next week well. But we want to talk about this issue, right, of growing personally to overcome the enemies that often defeat us. And I want to throw this out. As a Christian, do you always feel like you're the winner? You always feel like you're victorious? Right? Anybody like that? How many times? Like, don't we feel like a lot of times, like, yeah, we lost that battle. Yep, we lost that battle. Yeah, we're kind of there with that. And that's what we're going to kind of dig into this morning. I want to just share this thought. And go back, if you would, Andre. I clicked it too fast. We are often made aware of so many areas in our lives that need godly change. And by some of the issues or the foes that we talked about in our series, they sort of reveal where we really are very often. And it seems like very little sometimes ever really does change for good, even though we know it should. And I want to ask this question. So what's wrong with us? I was kidding with Rosemary and Pastor Ansu, not really kidding, but this is kind of like confessions of your pastor too. There are so many things in my life I'd like to be better at, and sometimes I just feel like I just can't get there. You been there? So, by the way, this is not a message where I'm, you know, hitting you on top of your head. This is a message where God's hitting me on top of mine. And I'm just going to kind of share the journey with you a little bit, and hopefully we can all grow together. But we're going to listen to God's word today. We're going to find out how we could be positively different. And we're going to look at that this morning. So I want you guys to get this thought in your mind. And by the way, the first sentence ought to give us an amen, right? We are new creations in Christ. Is that right? Amen. Amen. We are. Like, we are, if we're saved, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we are born again, our sins are forgiven, and we are different. We are different people. We're new creations. But here's the challenge. Discipline, and you're probably saying, what's that word mean? We'll get it in a second. Discipline makes the difference for a life of genuine godliness. So get that in your mind. We're going to talk that through a little bit more, kind of figure that out. So I just want to flash back real fast and say, by the way, these are all the topics we talked about this summer. Pastor Ansu, me, Chip, we talked about all these things, and these are all hot buttons for us in our Christian experience, right? anger, right? Anybody have a problem with anger? Don't raise your hand. We probably already know. No, I'm only kidding, right? Anger, right? Worry, fear, and anxiety, right? You know, we struggle with that one a little bit. You know, in fact, me and Jane, we talk, and she says, by the way, who says this all the time? I'm worried. I'm worried about that. And maybe you're not really worried. Anybody say that? Not really worried. And Jane will say that. She said, yeah, I'm worried about the kids. She said, I'm not really worried, but, you know, we say that expression, right? And we are concerned about the things in life that go on. And worry, fear, and anxiety, remember we talk about it's paralyzing. You know, and then we talked about depression and sadness, you know, and that's sometimes when we can't resolve our anger, our worry, our fear, it takes us into this tunnel of depression and sadness. And then I don't know about you guys, but we all seem to struggle with pride, right? You know, I'm right, you're wrong, you know, that kind of thing. Like, we all like to be the winners, right? And then forgiveness and bitterness, you know, anybody wrestle with that one? We struggle to say the words, I forgive you. And then we become these, you know, bitter people, and that's not good either, right? And then communication, I'm a communicator, but sometimes I fail so miserably, I can't believe it sometimes. But communication, we've got to work on that one. And then idolatry, I remember Pastor Anthony preached on this, where we're worshiping everything in life practically but God. We wrestle with that one. Marriage, a few of us have, you know, really done well with that, but marriage can be challenging. Problems seem like they overwhelm us, and change seems impossible sometimes. So I want to ask you guys a question. That's where we've been, and here's kind of the question. So I want to ask this, and we'll go down to the next slide. How many of us, what has changed based on these discussions in your life and in mine? Think about that for a second. That was a whole bucket full of problems, wasn't it? So what has really changed over this summer? We kind of heard the word of God. A lot of people said, oh man, that message really spoke to my heart. You know, and by the way, it spoke to ours first, me and Pastor Ansu and Chip. A lot of times, like, we're like, oh, you know, how do we preach this? We're like making a mess of it ourselves. You know, how many things have really changed? And I want to say this to us, right? And here's an important thing. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the vision of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. So you know what? God's word has that ability to convict us, change us, get us to think different. And that's why we're here. By the way, that's why a lot of times maybe we say, hey, we're going to study the book of John. We're like, well, we did that already. But we need to hear it again, because we need that conviction of God's Holy Spirit to bring to our mind sometimes what we already know, but don't practice, right? So I want to encourage us with that. And, you know, John 8:31 is a great verse too. And check that out. You know, I hope we believe this, but Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I want to throw this out to us today. I hope, and I think about this in the context of like fear, worry, depression, sadness. You know, God's word can set us free from being caught up in that. And that's what we want to kind of talk about. So the question really isn't, can it? I remember, I love him so much. You guys remember Wes Voth? Wes and Dottie, they were members for 50 plus years back at the church. Awesome people. But I remember Wes saying this. He said, I know God can do it. I'm not sure if he's gonna. And Wes, by the way, Wes was the guy, we would talk, whether I preached or someone else preached, he would always talk to the preacher, and he would always ask these questions that are like impossible to answer. And I love Wes for that. He really pushed us to be better at communicating God's word. But we struggle with that. So we know God can change us, but maybe we're like, I'm not sure he's gonna. And I want to talk about how do we get to that place where God can really change us. So we're going to look at that this morning. And, you know, here's a question for you guys. And I'm being serious, kind of being really, introspective today a little bit. But in your mind, what would you like to change? I want you to write it down today. Take a minute. We don't have a big rush. We're going to get picnic right on time. What would you like to change? And by the way, don't write your husband. Or your wife. And you might be saying, that's exactly what I'm thinking. don't write that down. But what would you like to change in you? What would you like to change? And I want to keep this in our minds, right? And the author Matthew wrote this. He said, but Jesus looked at them and he said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And we got to keep that in our mind, right? These are spiritual truths, right, that we hang on to when everything looks like there's no hope. And I love Jeremiah said this. He said, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. And I want us to think about that. Like some of those things that you said, man, I struggle with my anger so much, and I'm still struggling with my anger. Guess what? God can help. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. And discipline's kind of a key piece of that. So we're going to jump in to the next slide, if you would. Help me there, Andre. I'm going to get stuck. And I want to think about this. Reflecting on our possibilities for growth. So we kind of stepped back. We looked at all those things. And by the way, I hope you guys wrote down on your paper what you want to change. And by the way, you know, it could be any of those things. It could be, hey, you're struggling with an addiction. Hey, you're struggling with this problem, struggling with that. That's what God does. God fixes those things. God changes those things. And I want to answer this question right now is, how can I do it? How can I do it? And let's look at this verse, 1 Timothy. And I want you guys to get this in your mind, right? The Apostle Paul wrote 1 Timothy. Timothy is the recipient of the letter. Paul's the author. Paul's an older guy. Timothy's a younger guy. They're both in the ministry. And Paul is trying to say, this is what you need to do. I'm trying to encourage you. This is what you need to do. And here's what he says to Timothy. And by the way, in that first part of that chapter, and Moses read it so well, it talks about all the things that are going to come out of this age. And by the way, everybody look up. When you look at the world today, don't sometimes you just go, is this world crazy or what? We see things going on. And by the way, the murder this week of this guy, Charlie Kirk, right? And no matter where you fall in the political spectrum, that is absolutely wrong. No matter where you fall, it's absolutely wrong. He didn't deserve it. Nobody deserves it. It is absolutely sin from the pit of hell, right? But we look at our world, and the people on both sides and trying to do bad things on both sides to get even and do all this stuff. No. No. What does God say we need to do is what we need to think about, right? Our world is crazy. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy, right? And here's what he said. He says, I want you to reject profane and old wives' fables. And you might say, that's kind of a weird thing. Old wives' fables, like a figure of speech. And here's an example of that. Your mom might have told you this. Don't go swimming till you wait an hour after you eat. Anybody ever get that? Like, I'm not sure what my mom thought was going to happen, but, you know, was my stomach going to blow up? Was I going to be attacked by sharks? I don't know. But that's kind of like an old wives' fable. It's not based in any fact. And I want to say this. Look up and get this in your minds. We are confronted with so much stuff on social media and every other form of media, and even your friends and mine, we got to sort out what's truth and what's not. And we got to look at the Word of God like a sift, right, where we just go through it, and everything we look at has got to go through God's Word, and we got to sift out and say, what's truth? And what we hear a lot of times is not truth at all, right? And he says that, and here's what he says. So he says, reject those things. And I want to throw this out. We got to get good as the Church of Jesus Christ at rejecting the garbage of life that flows in and accepting the truth of God's word and living by that. Right? That makes sense, right? And by the way, look what he says next. And here's one. It's a challenging word. I want us to get this. It's the idea of discipline. He says, exercise yourself toward godliness. How many people exercise? Raise your hand. How many people want to exercise? You get more hands, that's better, right? Okay, right? All right. By the way, we all kind of want to because we want to look like we exercise and we're fit and strong, right? But it's hard sometimes to jam it all in our day. But here's the idea of this word. This word, exercise. By the way, exercise physically takes discipline. And you have to do it the right way to get the benefit that you want. And that's so important. And I'll continue. Let me just go back to the verse for a quick second. Notice he says this phrase. And I want you to get this right, because God's not saying, hey, you're in church. Y'all don't need to exercise. You just need to study God's word. God is not saying that. Here's what he's saying. He says, bodily exercise profits a little. And I want you to write this in your Bible. Here's what he says. It means it profits a little while. Everything you do on this earth, you're going to do in this body. So if you keep this body fit, it's going to be easier and better and less painful. Right? That's a good thing. But guess what? Bodily exercise doesn't fix all the other problems of our heart. And I don't mean heart disease, but I mean spiritual heart disease. It doesn't fix that problem. And he says bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness, living practically the way God wants me to live in obedience to his word prayerfully, is profitable for all things. Bodily exercise won't fix my marriage, but if I exercise myself toward godliness, it'll go a long way to moving me where God wants me to be. Right? That makes so much sense, doesn't it? And that's what he's trying to tell us, right? So how do I do that? And I want to say this. And by the way, look at the end. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. In other words, this is the truth. Take this to the bank and let's do something about it. Brothers and sisters, let's do something, right? So once you get hold of this word, what does he mean by that? Exercise yourself toward godliness. So it's a Greek word, and it's an interesting word. But look at the word. It's called the word gymnazo. What's that sound like? Sounds like gym, right? You know, gym, the gym, gym class, all that stuff, right? And it's in the present tense. It's an active word. It's an imperative, which means it's a command. And by the way, the idea of this word is, this is what we got to keep on doing. Whenever the Greek is present active, it means you keep on doing it. It's not you do it one time and it's done. It's not that it is done because it got done before. It means we keep on doing it all the time. We keep on exercising ourselves toward godliness every minute of every day, hopefully. Right? That's the idea. And here's the thought. We must practice godly patterns. I'm going to use an example. What am I talking about? You can use the word habit. Anybody got habits? If I say the word habit, we always think bad things. Oh, yeah, he has a habit. He smokes. He does this. He does that. Habits, right, can be really good, or they can be really bad. You know, some habits are great. You know, by the way, here's a good habit. We brush our teeth. It's good for all of us. I'm glad you guys do that, right? It's good. It's good for all of us. Good for you. Good for me, too, right? You know, we brush our teeth, we get washed. Those are habits. You know, we come home, we're sweaty and dirty. What do? We get a shower. It's a good thing, right? It wipes off all that stuff. You know, if we're in your garden and you run into poison ivy, you want to get it off, right? That's a good habit. Those are good habits. And our challenge is that we need to practice godly patterns. And by the way, here's the idea of this. We're willing, we're prayerful, and we're persistent in our obedience to what God wants us to do, what God wants us to do, in the power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, what I'm not trying to say, everybody look up, get this in your mind. This is not, I'm going to try so hard, I'm not going to yell at my wife anymore this week. That is not what we're talking about. We are talking about in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying, God, help me to get control of myself that I don't act like the fool and do it again and again and again, right? That's the idea. Like, I'm God's word, and I'm asking God in his Holy Spirit to do what I can't do. And that's kind of what he's saying. Exercise yourself toward godliness. And here's what we need to do. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to replace our ungodly habits. And we kind of talked about some of them. Anger. Right, which is an emotion, but it also, by the way, remember we read that scripture? The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Doesn't ever do that, right? So we gotta change that practice. So we need to change our ungodly habits and replace them with ones that are godly so it comes natural. And I want to ask the question today. Pastor Anson, where's that Dallas Cowboy football? You got it? Throw it up here, baby. There it is. Right? Now, here's the deal. Here's a habit. As someone who catches a football, you're supposed to catch the football with your hands, not your chest. And you see people, they go, try to get it, right? That is not the way to do it, right? So how do you, by the way, you see at practice, football practice,
quarterback, he's throwing back and forth, and they're throwing back and forth. The wide receiver's catching the ball. They're going back and forth. They're going back and forth. They're going back and forth. We just keep on doing it. Who's the other Cowboy fan? Mary. Oh, baby, see that hand, baby. Here you go, Mary. All right, all right. Marion's a wide receiver. He's not quarterback. It's okay, right? So, but here's the deal, right? We practice why, so it becomes natural to us. It should be when the ball is thrown at us, our hands go up and we catch the ball. We don't catch it with our chest. We don't catch it with our face. We catch it with our hands, right? Good, right? And that's kind of this idea. And I want you to get this in your mind, right? We need to get in our mind that we need to practice spiritual disciplines. We need to practice dealing with our anger the right way. We need to practice not lying. We need to practice telling the truth. We need to practice gentleness. We need to practice kindness. We need to practice all those things. We need to practice our faith in God so we're not freaked out, we're not depressed, we're not overwhelmed. We need to try God, because when we try God, he's always faithful. Right? That's kind of the idea. And I want us to kind of get a hold of that today. That's this idea. And if, you know, if we don't totally finish this, walk away with that, is that I need to practice godly behavior in every area that we talked about and every other one that I wrestled with that we didn't. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So here's a couple things. We're going to hit them quick this morning, but here's one. Remembering our identity. And I ask this question, who are you guys? You might say, Pastor Gary, who are you? Right, who are we, right? We'll look at that. We want to reveal this process of growth and godliness, and we want to reorient our practices. That's the big thing. So we want to discipline ourselves to reorient how we live life. Everybody look up. Here's an idea. How many people, if they hit your car or they hit your kid or they hit you, what do you want to do? I want to give them one right back, right? Left cross, right hook, something. I'm gonna get him, right? But here's the deal. We want to reorient that, because that's not a good thing. One, it'll probably get you arrested if you're an adult. It'll get you suspended if you're a kid. And it'll probably, you know, kind of mess up your relationship for sure, no matter who you are, right? So we got to reorient this practice, our habits, what we do. So we live by the word of God. By the way, remember Jesus said, turn the other cheek. I don't know about you, but I've struggled with that one a little bit, right? You know, us competitive people, that doesn't fly so hot sometimes, right? So we're going to go down to the next thing. And here it is, right? So I want to remember our identity. And I want you guys to get this verse in your mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. Everybody, this is who you are, this is who I am, right? It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. In a positional sense, God has taken away your sin, and all things have become new. And I want you to get this in your mind. The moment that you were born again, we have a new propensity of moving toward God that is directed by his Holy Spirit. That's salvation. And there's a word we use in that. The word is called repentance. It has the idea of turning around. I'm running this way, and I go, man, that way is so wrong. And I turn around, and I go this way now. And this is what happens. When we're born again, our whole direction of life, our propensity is not just to please ourselves, but it's to seek to please God. And that's important, right? So get this in our mind real quick, right? Jot this down. The results of salvation through saving faith that changes our identity. Here's one. The penalty for your sin has been paid. Amen to that, right? Because the only way you guys, by the way, that I can pay that penalty is die and suffer for all of eternity. I'm not signing up for that. I want Jesus to pay it. Right? And then the next thing is this. The power of sin, this is important, right, for this issue we're talking about today. The power of sin is broken. How many of us said, I can't change? Right? I just can't do it. You know, I've done it. I every Monday I pray to God, God, forgive me for that same sin. I just can't do it. No, you can, because the power of sin has been broken. The presence of sin will be removed in the future. But here's the problem. But the patterns or habits of sin remain, and they must be put off. And by the way, That's where you and me come in. The Holy Spirit has done the big job. Now I got to work in combination with the Holy Spirit, and I got to do the job where I call sin what it is, and I put it off, and I put on the practices that Jesus taught. Right? That's the idea. So here's the deal, right? Therefore, the next step is literally practice living out who we are in Christ in every area of life. The Holy Spirit did that part. Now we got to do the next part so we actually really change. God's changed. When God sees us, he sees us under the blood. He sees us sinless. He sees the blood of Christ covering all of our sins. But when our neighbors see us, they see us still as a mess sometimes, don't they? Right? And that's the change. That's what we got to do. So we got to start living through the Spirit, led day-to-day training that is takes us to sanctification. So Spirit-led training, we got to train. By the way, when you think about that word exercise, don't you often use that word training? Training. We train. You know, I keep throwing the ball around. I'm looking at Wilder J. She coaches track and cross-country. You know, by the way, running is easy if you do it right. So many of us, you see people with their stride, you go like, oh my goodness. You know, it's like, no wonder they're not fast. I'm glad they're standing on 2 feet still, right? So you got to train them to do the right thing, do the right stuff, right? And that's so important. So we're going to kind of talk about that. So let's go down to the next one. And I want you guys just to think about this. What is this process then of discipline? What's it look like? And 2 Timothy 3:16 kind of hits the nail on the head. And here it is. It says, all scripture is given by God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. So I want to get this down. By the way, this is the basics. You know, in the football field, they say the basics are blocking and tackling. In life, the basics are the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and working in tandem with them, right? And here it is, right? The most essential factor to discipline ourselves is the regular study of God's word in order to make application of its principles to our problems. But that was said by a Christian counselor. He's kind of the founder of that movement named Jay Adams. I want you guys to get this in your mind, right? The regular study of God's word in order to make application of its principles to our problems. Think this through with me. If I don't read God's word, how will I know how to do it God's way? Right? But I think a lot of times we don't. We think, well, you know, I kind of have this feeling in my heart. I think this is right. I watch someone else do it. It must be right. But we got to know, what does God really say about it? And I'll throw this out. I bet if we went out on the street today and polled your friends on the street, they wouldn't say turn the other cheek. They wouldn't say gentleness. You know, they wouldn't say, trust God even when you don't understand. They wouldn't probably say those things. We got to get God's perspective on it. So I want you guys to get this in your mind. Here's a thought about this verse. This foundational, right? The Word of God, what does it do from this verse? It teaches us. So it tells us this is the right way. That word is doctrine. That sounds like a deep, heavy, boring thing, right? But when I know how to do things right, by the way, let me ask the question. How many guys out there have ever used YouTube to fix something that was broken in your house? Raise your hand. Man, I praise God for YouTube. Right? I mean, can you imagine what our house would look like if we didn't have YouTube? Right? I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, thankfully, somebody else, like, messed it all up, and then they tell you, don't do this. This is how you do it, right? So we need that same thing from Scripture. We need the YouTube, how to live life, but it's in the Word of God. And it says, by the way, here's the next thing. By this way, anybody know what the word reproof means? I never hear anybody say that. I reprove you, brother. Right? I never heard anybody say that. Here's what it means, though. The Word of God convicts us. Like, you hear a message, and you're like, how did he know about me? And by the way, the answer is, me and Pastor Gary and Chip, we don't really know all about you. But the Holy Spirit, he brings things to our mind. And we're not trying to preach at you, but the Holy Spirit is. And sometimes you're going to get that feeling. You're like, how did he know? And And how about this? And we're a correction. It teaches us, and then it says, by the way, conviction means this is right and you're wrong. That's conviction. It sets us straight again. Correction. So you did this wrong, this is how you get back. Right? And then it trains and it disciplines us in righteousness. It just tells us this is what you got to do in more areas of life than we probably could get our hands around this morning. But it trains us. We just got to go through it as we go through life. And I praise God, Miss Minnie, Hobie, anybody else here who's 90 years old, been around the block a whole lot of times, God's still training you, right? He's still teaching you. He's still kind of moving things in a better direction because you're not there yet. And you know, we'll get there when we see Jesus face to face, but we're not there yet. So I want to keep on going with that. So this process, right? And here's the first thing. Not only do we read God's word, I'm going to throw this out. How many people own a devotional like Daily Bread, our new one, The Word for You Today, A Word of Life Quiet Time Diary? You know, praise God, that's a start, but sitting on your shelf, your desk, in your car, that alone will not change your life. You got to open it up, right? So the first thing you do is what? You read it, and you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. But then most of us, a lot of times, we're in a hurry, especially reading in the morning. So then you say, boy, that was so good. And then you jump in your car, and you do exactly what you were going to do before you read it. Isn't that true? And here's the point. This process of spiritual discipline is I read God's word, and then I got to reflect on it. You know, that sounds like a word. That sounds like a modern word, reflect. What's that mean? What that mean is I think about what is the scripture saying, and the word of quiet time diary used to say, what does the scripture say? What does it mean? And so I think about what does it say? What does it mean? And then what does it mean to me right now in the situation that I'm at? What does it mean to me? That's reflection. And I can hear it throw this out. If you're depressed, man, I hope when God's word talks about that issue, talks about his faithfulness, that is speaking to your issue, right? You know, or if you're angry and God talks about that, that is speaking to your issue. And by the way, I say you are mine too. He's speaking to my issue too. And by the way, as pastors, and here's the funny thing, Paul is a pastor talking to a pastor, and he's saying, this is what you got to do to do your job right. So if me and Pastor Ansu aren't in God's word, we're going to be weak leaders and we're not going to do our job right and it's not going to help you and we're all going to go down together. And that's not what God wants. By the way, leaders, deacons, the same thing for all of us, right? We can't lead unless we're in the word of God. We read and we reflect on what it says. And I'll throw this out. Here's a confession. Do I do a good job at that all the time? No, Pastor Ansu, no. We live the crazy life just like you all live. You know, we're 0 to 60 too many times too fast. And then we stop when we crash. So it's no good, right? And then, and by the way, I'll continue. Look what Hebrews says. And by the way, I never thought about this verse this way. It says, for through by this time you ought to be teachers. The author of Hebrews is talking to these Hebrew Christians dispersed all over the earth, right? And he says, you ought to be teachers. You've been saved this long. What is up with you guys? And he says, you need someone to teach you again. The first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, you need to figure out what does God's word say, and that's what you need to be doing. And he says, and you have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But check out this idea about solid food, the word, like the deepness of the word. It says, but solid food belongs to those who are of a full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, what's happening? They are using God's word to discern good from evil. And by the way, sometimes it's hard to tell, isn't it? And that we need to do that. So reading moves to reflection, and I think about what it means for me right now. By the way, here's the funny thing. That's why we could preach the Gospel of John last year, we could preach it this year, and it would hit you in a different way. Because we need to think about what am I going through right now? What's happening right now? So we're going to skip on down. And here it is, right? reading and reflecting again. So reading moves to reflection. Philippians 2, 12 to 16 says this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, check out this phrase. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? He means that we, in our current state, should be thinking about the results, the effects, and how does my life look as a saved person now, and what needs to change. And by the way, he gives this example. Check this out. Let's see if we pass or fail. He says, for it's God who works in us both to will and do his good pleasure. He says, do all things without complaint. Pass or fail. That's a little trouble, right? Yep, me too. You know, doesn't life like just frustrate us? Sure does, right? So do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault. I don't know about that one. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights. Sometimes you ever feel like your light's shining, but it's not exposing the right stuff, right? You know, that stuff, right? And he says, holding fast the word of life so that you might rejoice in the day of Christ. So reading moves us to reflection. What does it mean for me? So we got to read, we got to reflect if we really want to change. And by the way, this, and I know you guys know this in a sense, but here's the question. You might know it. Do you do it every day or do you do it most days? Do you really read God's word and say, God, I am in need of your word and I'm in need. I got to figure out what is going on in me. I got to change. And then here's the next thing. We're going to slide on down. And here's the next one. We got to reorient our practice, our habits. We talked about that, right? We got good habits and we got bad habits, right? So repenting and practice. And check out what Luke said. Here's the challenging part. Is it a struggle, by the way, to not do it your way? Anybody struggle with that? I like doing things my way. How about you? Right? So look what Luke wrote. And by the way, this is recorded in more than just the gospel by Luke. But it says, and he said to them, this is Jesus, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's a hard one, God. Right, isn't that hard? And by the way, everybody look up. When he says deny himself, some Christians celebrate Lent and they give up. You know, I'm not going to have chocolate during the Lenten season. I'm not going to have pizza during Lent. I'm not going to drink Coke during Lent. I'm not going to do those things. He is not talking about that. That's not a bad thing, in a sense. But what he's talking about is giving up your control of your life and doing it God's way. Ooh, that's hard, Pastor Gary. Wait, why you got to go say that? Right? And Paul kind of put it this way, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, do you know that those who run in a race all run? Yeah, I get that, right? They all run. But he says, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize, check out this word, is what? Temperate. You know what that means? Self-control. I'm not freaking out. I'm not yelling. I'm not screaming. I'm not, you know, down on my knees in tears every second. But I'm self-controlled. And he says, now they do to obtain a perishable crown, athletes, like the Olympians, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. I fight not as one who beats the air. But look what he says. Same word, by the way. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. So here's the thought, real quick. Wouldn't you guys have liked to have changed some of those issues? Anger, depression, sadness, pride, all that stuff we looked at. We got to do this. We got to discipline ourselves, and we got to bring our bodies and our minds into the subjection to God's word in those hard areas. And we're going to see that change happen. So I practice my habits of obeying God and denying myself, and what I want is, you know, is control, right? So real quick, we're done. Discipline makes the difference for godliness. That's the verse we just read. So Four things. Guys, remember the three R's? What are the three R's in education? What's the three R's? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. I'm not quite sure how they got that because writing begins with a W, but you get the idea, right? But reading, writing, and arithmetic, and arithmetic begins with an A. But we call it the three R's for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah, yeah. It's the beauty of English, I guess, right? But there's really four R's for the Christian life, right? And here they are. Here's the four R's. Read God's word daily to renew your thinking. And seriously, and by the way, and I do this, I confess I do this. I read so I can check off the box. Don't read to check off the box. Or I read because I know I'm supposed to because I'm the pastor. I got to read. I know I'm supposed to. Right? Somebody might ask me in church on Sunday, did you read? Oh, yeah, I read. But did it matter? No, because my mind was elsewhere, right? So we got to read God's word daily to renew our thinking, right? Reflect on God's word daily, considering your thoughts, actions, responses, and habits. Now, I know you guys, everybody look up at me, because I know what y'all thinking. Sometimes I do anyway, right? But you guys are saying, you don't know my life. You know, I have to leave for work at 4 a.m. How am I going to do that? Right? Some people thinking that. Saying, well, I don't know. That's a good idea, but when am I going to do it? Well, here's the thought. I don't know if you leave at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 9 a.m. I'm not sure when you leave, but here's the deal. We got to find some point in time before your day begins to be with God and sort of get your head screwed on straight, right? I don't know when you do that. Maybe it's the night before. It could be the night before. It could work, right? You wake up and you're thinking hopefully what you read or thought about the night before, but we need to renew that thinking. And we need to reflect on God's word, considering what's going on in my heart. Man, I'm really angry. This just happened. That just happened. What am I going to do? We need to do that, right? And then here's the next thing. We need to repent where your life does not line up with God. That means we need to turn around and say, God, you're right. Repentance involves confession. You're right, God. I agree. I'm sinning. And God, I know I need to change that. And then we need to reorient our practices in obedience to God's word. So we need to, by the way, if you struggle with anger, you struggle with sadness, you struggle with pride, you struggle with all those things, let's read God's word, figure out what it tells us to do, and let's do what God's word says in faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you guys got to make decisions about something, right? And you're going, I know the Bible says do this, but I really feel like I ought to do that. Decide to do what God says and trust him for the outcome. And I'll throw this out. The next time you come to one of those hard decisions, it'll be slightly easier. And then you build on that the next time. You know, I trusted God last time and it worked out. I'm going to trust God again. Oh, it worked out this time too. We begin to kind of get a streak going of doing things God's way. Right? You know I want to scream and yell at my employee. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to speak calmly and quietly. I'm going to do that instead. I know I can be bitter. I'm going to confess that sin to God because I don't want to be a sharp tongue all the time. I know it's wrong. I'm going to try and do it God's way. That's what we're talking about. So I'm going to leave you with that this morning. We are going to pray, and we're going to get out of here and go to the picnic. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in our midst. And I pray, dear God, that you would just do a mighty work in us, Lord, that we would practice, dear God, what your word says, that we would change our habits, Lord, to be ones of holiness, Lord, not of sinfulness. Father, work in our hearts, work in our mind. Change us by your grace and your power and the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, it's just the beginning. These are the building blocks, Lord. Help us to embrace them and carry them out day in and day out by your word. Help us to exercise ourselves, discipline ourselves, Lord, train ourselves to be more godly. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who has a need of salvation in Christ, because that's the starting place, help them to see us. Lord, if there's any other need, Lord, may they just reach out to us as well. And I just pray these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So we are not going to sing a song, so I want you guys to understand where we're going. We are going to the park. It's called Pennington Park. It is at 801 Creek Road in Delanco. Okay? And by the way, anybody...